Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
Right now, let's go to John's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 12. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. May God add blessing of the reading of his word today. When you think about or hear the word truth, what comes to mind? Now seriously, what do you understand truth to be? If you remember Pilate during Jesus' trial, he asked Jesus, what is truth? Now, I want to take that question a step further while you're thinking about it. What does the Bible teach us about truth? The dictionary will tell us that truth is that which is true or in accordance with fact or reality. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty vague. From the Bible, Jesus tells us in John chapter 14, verse 6, he is the way, the truth, and the life. For the Christian, that should be a much stronger definition of the word truth. To know that Jesus is the truth. We know Jesus is God incarnate, so God is the truth. We know the Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity. And he, like the Son and the Father, is God. So he too is truth. So truth then becomes, for the Christian, a reality of God. It is a reality of who God is, what God has to say, and how God relates that back into our lives. It isn't an opinion of what God has versus an opinion of what we have. It is a reality of who God is. And it is a reality of the sovereignty of God. He is all-knowing. Nothing ever occurred to God. Have you been sitting around, and I find myself in this happening to me quite often. Have you ever been sitting around thinking about the day or thinking about what's going on, and suddenly, I should have done this. Something occurs to you. You suddenly remember something. Maybe tomorrow you've already got your calendar planned on what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. And then, I've got to include this. That doesn't happen to God. God never has anything occur to him. He sees everything from the beginning to the end, and from the end to the beginning, in all of our lives at the same time. Now, I can't wrap my mind around that. And I don't think any of us can. And I really don't think we're supposed to, not this side of eternity. It is a matter of faith that we realize that is God, and that is how sovereign He is. And with that, and with that sovereignty, and with that authority that He has, that solidifies truth in the life of a believer. It solidifies truth in your life. It solidifies truth in my life. So when we think of the word truth, and we think of what the Bible tells us about truth, it should be a much stronger definition and understanding of the word. And when we want to know the truth, Where we look will determine where we walk in life. If we look at the world, if we look at the things and the establishments of the world for truth, then we are going to get their perception. We are going to get their explanation. We're going to get their definition. And it will be flawed. Sometimes it will be outright wrong. But if we look to God, and if we look to God's Word, how can that go wrong? How can we go wrong when we look for the truth of life? The truth of the questions that bear upon us. The truth for the answers to the worry and the frustrations that we have. And we all have those frustrations, and we all have those worries, and we all have those concerns. The world that we live in, the fallen world that we live in, brings them upon us. Whether they are financial, whether they are concerns about safety and security in our nation, in our homes, regardless of where it may be, we all have those things. But are we going to go to the truth of the world to seek peace, or are we going to go to the truth of the Word of God? We need to grasp that, and grasp it in a very sobering way today. Because without grasping that, we are going to always be tossed around. We're going to always be failing and coming up short because we're going to be looking for answers in popularity. We're going to be looking for answers that compromise. We're going to be looking for answers that settle into the minds of other people and not settling into the heart. To the heart of Christianity. So the Lord here is talking to His disciples. That's where our message is at this morning. There are several things that are taking place in this conversation. And one of them, Jesus is preparing His disciples for His coming arrest. Now, if you have been part of the messages for the last few weeks, you know that they're on the road to Gethsemane. They're still there. They're still making that travel. And I told you last week, if you really want to know how long that travel is, go to a Bible map. Look at Jerusalem and look at Gethsemane. And there are, most maps have them on there. And you can see, it may look like a very short place on that map, but look at the scale down at the bottom of the page, and it'll tell you that 1 inch equals so many miles. You can do the math. It's not a very short walk. So there was a lot of opportunity for Jesus to talk to His disciples. So Jesus was getting them ready for His arrest. He was getting them ready for His death, His burial, His resurrection. Jesus told His disciples that a comforter was going to come. Not a bed comforter, a spiritual comforter was going to come and was going to take abode with them. We know that comforter better by the name of the Holy Spirit because that is who He was referring to. There are three things in our text this morning that are truth. Truths. And they are revealed to the disciples by Jesus. Truths that are coming from the Holy Spirit that will be worked out in their life, but they're also worked out in your life and my life this morning. Especially if we're Christian, especially if we're born again, children of God. They are worked out because we are disciples. If you weren't here last week, I'll touch back and touch something out of that message last week. If you are saved today, you are a disciple. You are a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, how close you follow or how far away you follow is a decision that you make upon based upon the relevance of Christ in your life and the meaning that He holds in your life. But Jesus here speaking to these disciples was reminding them and setting them up in a strengthening, peaceful way and saying, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit is coming. But when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit is going to bring three truths that are going to be reflected in and through your life. And I want to share those three truths with you this morning. First, I want you to notice that there is a need for the Holy Spirit's revelation. Look in verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Jesus knew the confusion His disciples had. Jesus knew how unprepared they were. Jesus knew while they were hearing the words that He said, they were not really grasping them and they didn't take them seriously. The disciples, remember, were of the same mindset as the rest of the Jewish culture. Their picture of a Messiah was someone that was going to come and someone that was going to be a military Messiah, and they were going to release or free Jerusalem from Roman captivity, and they were going to put Jerusalem on the map, and the temple was going to be the place where God was going to reign, and the leader of Jerusalem, just like King David, was going to sit there in the mansion, and they were going to rule and to reign, and that was the picture that the Jewish people had of the Messiah. For lack of a better phrase, the Messiah was going to be the Jewish version of George Patton. He was going to come in and clean house, and he was going to set things back the way they were when David was there. And Jesus knew. He knew because of His sovereignty. And He knew that they were wrong. But He also knew that it wasn't, that regardless of what He said, they just couldn't grasp that. So He said, you can't bear anything else right now. But the Holy Spirit is going to come. And the Holy Spirit is going to take care of this. And the Holy Spirit is going to reveal it to you. Jesus prayed in John 17:17, when He was talking to God, He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Holy Spirit will accomplish this. The Holy Spirit will take care of this sanctification. In your life today, there are things going on that you don't understand. In my life today, there are things going on and taking place that I am not fully aware of. It's not because you're oblivious. It's not because you're ignorant of them going on. It's not because maybe you're irresponsible. It's not because of that. It is just because we don't see the full picture of everything that's out there. And God does. That's why in the life of a child of God, the Holy Spirit has a work of revelation of things that are taking place. He has a work of things. If we come down to verse 13, Jesus tells them that He will guide you to all truth, that He will not speak of Himself, that He will speak of Jesus, that He will speak of whatsoever He hears. God the Father will be communicating through the Holy Spirit into the hearts and the lives of His disciples. And He does that today. He will do that today. We don't hear a lot of preaching and a lot of teaching today of the Holy Spirit because, quite frankly, I am of the understanding that most people do not believe in the Holy Spirit. Most people hear about it, but they think that's something that went away a long time ago. They think that's something that died out with the apostolic church. It's no longer part of it. It's no longer relevant. Let me remind you of something. When you were saved, the Holy Spirit took up abode in your heart. You are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in your life daily if you are a saved person. How often do you really work on letting the Holy Spirit have His way in your life? there were emotions that these disciples were dealing with, that the Holy Spirit had to work them through. The emotions of Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. It bothered them. It bothered them to hear things that were going to happen. It bothered them not knowing and not understanding. They were troubled about it. When you realize you don't understand something, when you realize you're not really grasping something, does it bother you? Do you have an emotional experience with it? I hope you do. I really hope you do. Because especially in spiritual matters, and especially of things that come from God's Word, when we don't understand them, when we don't grasp them, it needs to be an emotional moment where we go back to God and we fall to Him. And we ask Him to make this known. And it is through the work of the Holy Spirit that will happen in your life. How about inability? The disciples didn't have the ability to understand the significance of the cross. The cross in their day, the cross was something of shame. They walked by Golgotha regularly, I'm sure. Everyone knew about Golgotha. It was like the execution chambers in today's prisons. It was like death row. When you were executed, you were taken to Golgotha. You carried your cross. They nailed you to that cross. They put you on Golgotha and you hung there until you died. A slow, torturous death. It wasn't something very appealing. It wasn't something very appeasing. It wasn't something the family packed a picnic to. So they didn't have the ability to grasp even the concept of Jesus going to the cross. How often do you find yourself dealing with something that you just don't have the ability to grasp the concept of it? The bad news of a doctor bringing something into your life. And you've got that big question, why? Maybe the bad news comes to a loved one. Why? Maybe something shattering happens in a marriage. Why? Maybe it's something in a job. Why? We have more questions than we have answers. We don't have the ability to really connect to what's going on. That is where the Holy Spirit works in our life. He worked in the lives of these disciples here in God's Word, and He will work in your life. He will resolve those inabilities. He will bring peace and comfort at a time when there may be no peace and comfort. Because you find yourself powerless. They found themselves powerless. They were walking with God in the flesh and they found themselves powerless. How often do we see what needs to be done in a circumstance or in a situation, but we just don't have the power to do anything? We know what needs to be done, and we know how to get it from point A to point B, but we're just not in a spot to do that. The disciples here in Jesus' day, they knew that. They had experienced that. But Jesus was telling them their needs, their spiritual needs, are going to be met, and that revelation of that truth was coming out. It was coming forward. It was being planted in their life. Now, did they grasp it and did they start jumping up and down, hooping and celebrating and all of that? No, they didn't. But the seed was planted. The reality of it happening was planted. And by it being planted, Jesus knew that that day in the future, in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit would come, the Holy Spirit arrived and the Comforter showed up, all of these things that had been planted, all of these seeds that were sitting there growing, all of them were going to break forth and they were going to come out and they were going to be harvested, for lack of a better phrase this morning. They were going to be harvested in the lives of those disciples who were walking close enough with Christ to really take this thing and grasp it. Are you walking close enough with Christ this morning to take these things and grasp them? Because these are the things, if we see in verse 13 again, that he shall speak. He will speak what he hears of God. The Holy Spirit that's wanting to work in your life today is not working based on his own merits somewhere. He's working based on the merits of God. It is the extent or the depth of those needs being met. It is a guide for all truth. Our Bible, the Word of God, is God's Word that the Holy Spirit applies to our life. Everything that we do, everything that we are as a child of God comes back to our Bible. It comes back to the Word of God. There will never be a more important and more necessary and more authoritative book in your life as a Christian than your Bible. It should be something that is held closer and held in the highest esteem in your personal life. It's not a paperweight. It's not a table ornament. It is the written Word of God that the Holy Spirit will work through to meet the extent of the revelations that are needed to lead and guide you and to lead and guide your family. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, Paul says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have uttered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit." Let me say that again. "But God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." They are revealed by the Spirit. The Spirit does not just come and sit down in front of you and have a conversation. They are revealed to you by the Spirit through the Word of God. He opens up this Word and He makes it plain. There are some parts of the Word of God anybody can pick up and read and understand, and those are parts that take people to salvation. Salvation is something anyone, any unsaved person can pick up the Bible and they can read and the Holy Spirit will move in their heart and life concerning salvation. There are other parts of the Bible that the person, not just anybody, can pick it up and read because there has to be revelation of the Holy Spirit. It has to happen. God will always be at work in your life bringing something fresh from His Word. Have you ever read something and read it and read it and read it and never really grasped it? And then one day you pick it up and you read it again and, that's it. It wasn't that you were just missing all of those points. God had a purpose of waiting till that time to reveal that to you. The Holy Spirit had a purpose of waiting till that time for it to be revealed. Why? A lot of it has to do with our maturity, our ability to digest it, our ability to handle it and to handle it well in our lives. Because honestly, if God would open up His Word and let us see it for what it really was and speak, it would scare us so badly. It would put a fear in our hearts that we would push away. We would step back. We would step back in fear of the power and the authority and the awesomeness of God. He brings us slowly and gradually at the pace that we can go. But now here's something that we've got to be aware of. We have to be submissive. This isn't all in God's court. God's not going to pull off the top of your head and pour the Holy Spirit in there at His will. God expects submission and obedience from all of us. Not one or two. Not one family member carrying the family. One family member leading the family, maybe. But everyone involved is responsible for their own walk with God. Everyone. Parents, we're responsible for putting our children in a position where they understand they need to be walking close with God. Part of that is understanding and realizing as an example, we need to be walking close with God so that they not only hear it, but they see it. They see it in our lives. They see it in our walk. So the reality of the extent of God's work falls through the Holy Spirit and our ability to be sensitive and understanding to that. Only the Holy Spirit, since He is God, knows all that God the Father and God the Son know. Therefore, only the Holy Spirit is qualified to reveal these divine truths to us. That tells us something this morning. The Holy Spirit cannot inspire error. The Holy Spirit cannot be wrong. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Our Bible is without error. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit communicates the will of God into our hearts and into our lives. Because the Holy Spirit is God, the Holy Spirit is incapable of error. The Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit, by those who have wrote it. The Bible is without error. That's why we have it set before us to use as a tool and an instrument for the Holy Spirit to work through. The extent of the Holy Spirit's work in your life and the extent of the needs that we have spiritually, each one of us come back to the depth of the reading and the effect that we let the Bible have in our life. If we hold to the reality and to the belief that the Bible contains the Word of God, then we're saying it contains error. If we hold to the idea that the understanding of the Word of God is based upon man, or it has myth, or it has this, or it has that, then we're saying it contains error. If we're saying it contains error, then we're saying the Holy Spirit did not inspire it. Because God cannot inspire error. He is truth. He is truth. Now finally this morning, there is the goal of the Holy Spirit's revelation. All of this between the need and between the extent all comes down to a goal. It all comes down to one purpose this morning. And when we realize the need and when we realize the extent of the Holy Spirit's work in our life, only then will we really understand and realize the goal. And it is to communicate and to connect the Word and the will of God in and through our personal lives. Communicate and connect. Those are important. They go together. We can communicate the Word of God. We can repeat what the Bible says. We can repeat what preachers and pastors say. We can repeat what Bible teachers say. We can repeat anything. We can communicate the Word of God. But how do we make it connect with those outside? How do we make it connect with those who need Jesus today as their Lord and Savior? How do we make it connect with those who have wandered away, with those who are pushing away and they want nothing to do with God? They want nothing to do with the church. They want nothing to do with anything taking place in the Christian life and in the church. How do we make that connection? We make that connection through our personal lives. It's kind of like taking a test in school. When we go down and we're learning the material, we can sit down and we can take the test and we can put the answers on the paper. We can communicate those answers. We can communicate that material by giving the right answers. And we can be graded on the ability to communicate that answers and those material and all of that. And we may get A's and we may get B's, we may get less, but we can communicate it. But now when we get up from that test, when we get up from that classroom, and when we go out into the real world, can we connect? Can we make that connection between what we have learned and what we do? We're seeing a big problem with that today. We're seeing a generation of people who are graduating from universities who have grand grades and grand GPAs. But when they get into the world and into the workplace, they can't make the connection. They can't make that happen. There's all kinds of stresses and all kinds of anxieties and all kinds of problems dealing with that. It happens. It's been happening in the church for generation upon generation upon generation. People hear the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God in the churches and they hear the communication of it, but they fail to make the connection. Often that failure is personal in our lives because we won't allow that connection to be made. We don't want to bring it into our life personally. We're happy getting an A. We're not worried about how that A affects somebody on the outside. What we carry out of the church, what we carry in our personal lives, into the workplace and into the world, makes the connection. It is the goal of the Holy Spirit that we take the Word of God, the will of God, the work of God, and we not only have the communication of it, but we have the connection of it as we go out into the workplace and into the world. The Holy Spirit will disclose God's Word through us if we will allow it. If we won't choke it down. If we won't talk ourselves out of it. Too often, I'm afraid that's what we do. We don't want to be ridiculed. We don't want to be criticized. We don't want to be second-guessed. We don't want to be passed up for a promotion. We don't want fill in the blank. So we disconnect. We know it's been communicated. We know it. But we don't allow that connection to take place. And I realize it can be a very daunting task to sit back and say, I am going to be submissive to God and I'm going to allow this to happen without reservation. It is fearful. I understand that. But what it does is it allows the Holy Spirit to mold us into the image of Christ, which is what God wants. As Christians, we are Christ-like. As born-again children of God, we are Christ-like. We need to take on that image of Christ in our life and in our personal lives when we're outside of the church. Today, people drive up and down the road and they see our car sitting in the parking lot, and there is a testimony to the world of the authority of God in the lives of these people because they are in church. Does that testimony end there? Does your testimony end when the final amen is said at this message? And you get in your car and you get in the road and you drive wherever. Does it end there or does it begin? Does it begin? If we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to mold us into the image of Christ, it needs to begin at that point. Communicate it and understand the connection of it and take that connection out. Out, because that will allow the Holy Spirit to be a witness of the truth of Scripture. That God is real. That Jesus is real. That salvation is real, that it is meaningful, that it is needed, that it holds a purpose and a point in the lives of people. That is the importance of that connection. That comes back to obedience and submission on our part. It is about grasping a hold of the teachings of Jesus, what He was telling them. Verse 14, He shall glorify Me. The communication, the connection is all about glorifying Jesus. It is because of Him we have our salvation. It is because of Him that we have our peace. It is because of Him we have our faith. It is because of Him we have everything that we have. It is He who deserves the glory. And the way He gets that glory is the way that we, is through the way we allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through our lives. The three truths that are revealed from this Scripture are revealed throughout humanity. It's not something that just happened here. Jesus told His disciples about it here. He said, the day's coming when this is going to happen. And when this happens, it's going to bring about the ability of the power of God to be revealed through your life. Are you ready for that power of God to be revealed through your life this morning? Are you willing for that to happen this morning? Are you willing for God to take His power and make the connection, the communication of His Word, and let it be seen in your life every day? As I close this morning, I want to ask our musicians to come and give us a hymn of invitation or prepare for one. Because when we think about the Holy Spirit and we think about the truth of God and God's Word, we can look back over history and we can see the necessity of the Holy Spirit in the disciples of the first church, and we can see why God would want to bring that down at Pentecost and why God would want to establish everything. And we can look back and we can see all of that. Hindsight is 20/20. But do you realize the Holy Spirit needs to reveal His truth through your life just as soundly as He did through their life because of this generation and because of subsequent generations? If our children and our grandchildren are going to know about Jesus, it's because they see Jesus in our life. It's because they see that connection. The good, the bad, the difficult, whatever it may be, they see that connection. Because serving God isn't always easy. It has its struggles and it has its difficulties. But they need to see that, and they need to see our faith in working through. Beyond that need, there is an extent that the Holy Spirit wants to work in your life. He has a depth. He has a purpose for you. He has a calling. He needs your submission and your obedience to that. just as Paul said to the Corinthians, the Holy Spirit wants to reveal. The Holy Spirit wants to work in your life. To do that, your conviction to obey the Holy Spirit is required. He's speaking this morning. He is speaking in some way, shape, form, or fashion to every one of us today. Are we going to be obedient? Are we going to be submissive? Are you going to be totally submitted to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life? His goal for you, for me, has it changed since that goal of the first church? The Holy Spirit wants to disclose God's Word to you and through you. He wants to mold you into the image of Christ. He wants to make you a vessel through which the truth of God's Word and Scripture is lived out in obedience daily. Those are the three truths that are revealed from this passage. God's not going to force them on you. God is not going to pour them out over you without your request, without your desire to have them. He is convicting you, though, to submit to the Holy Spirit to receive, to humbly become the Christ-like servant that the body of Christ needs today. So this morning, God's dealing with your heart. Will you come forward, either during the hymn or maybe privately after service if you need to know more, if you have questions. Don't put off God the Holy Spirit. He is too important. And the truth that He has to reveal through you is also just that important. Ladies.